So we're going to look at chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, but I want to go back and recap chapter 1. If you weren't here last week, these are the squib notes from last week, but I want us to kind of remind ourselves of just these amazing truths before we get into chapter 2. I think so many times we hurry in our walk or even our sermons that we just hurry and we miss and gloss over, hey, that was great last week, what's new? And it's like, well, let's just remind ourselves of these great truths before we move on, all right? And so, number one, we are richly blessed by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three were active in saving me, right? And so, many times we think, well, Jesus did it alone. Well, he as we're going to say, he paid for our salvation, he came for our rescue, but the Father has a role, the Holy Spirit has a role, right? And so, they were to have us rescued for a purpose, and that is to have a relationship with God, right? And so we have a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? I think that's pretty amazing. So we are richly blessed in this past tense, right? So you're already blessed in heavenly places. And Paul's like, I want to get your mind off the earth and onto heavenly things a little bit. I want to help you understand your heavenly blessings, all right? And so we also flourish in an atmosphere of love, acceptance, hope, and forgiveness. That's key for every relationship, right? It's key for your marriage. It's key for your friendship. Hey, you know, people accept me for who I am. They love me for who I am. They're willing to forgive me when I do dumb stuff or say dumb stuff, right? There's that atmosphere that I can flourish in, because if I'm constantly insecure and if my person, you know, loves me or not, right? So magnify that with the Lord. If I don't accept his forgiveness, or does God really accept me? Is he willing to forgive me and really love me? So if I'm insecure with that, I'm not going to grow closer to him. But I can flourish when I know he accepts me for me, right? That's an amazing truth. And he's forgiven me. And then also the Father has placed everything under the lordship of Christ. So it's like, well, shouldn't we do the same as his children? Yes. Right? And so all of life simply means my family, my finances, everything that God has entrusted me with is, I put it all at his feet. That makes sense? I'm his, he's mine, everything he's blessed me with, I put it back under his feet. Right? So I'm blessed to be a blessing. Right? And so I'm just a channel to which those blessings can flow through. Right? And so God has chosen to do that. Sometimes I wonder, like, Lord, why are you using me? It's like, well, because you're an idiot. No, I'm just kidding. No, because we understand that truth. It's like, it's not about me. I'm just a channel, right? And then he just works and does things through us, right? And so knowing God is your main pursuit. So if he's come after me, then I want to get to know him better, right? It takes time to get to know him, right? And so it takes time in any relationship to get to know people, right? So be patient with your growth in the Lord. It's like, man, I wish I was already there. No, enjoy the journey, right? Enjoy what he's teaching you along the way. Don't be jealous of somebody else's relationship. You know, treasure your own. Does that make sense? Treasure your own. Knowing your inheritance in you, and so God has deposited in us the Holy Spirit, heaven's treasure, right? He's preparing us for our day of redemption till we go home, right? He's growing us to be more like Jesus all along the way. He's given us an inheritance that's strong in us, and also to know his strength and power, right? And so when we come to chapter 6, Paul says, be put on the full armor of God, be strong in his mighty power. Well, what power is he talking about? That resurrection power, but also that ascension power, right? That happened to Jesus is going to same happen to us, right? And so that's part of our heaven's resources in us. And so think about this. Something heavenly happened to me when I was 17 years old when I accepted Christ. It's like I didn't fully understand it, right? I just knew I needed Jesus. I was broken over my sin. I know I was under conviction. It's like, I just know I need Jesus. But as I read Ephesians, so I often read Ephesians when I get discouraged or down on myself, or just because it reminds me of these amazing truths, right? And so something heavenly happened to me, so I should live heavenly down here. Follow me? And so lastly, we have his riches, Christ's riches, his resources, and his righteousness. That's an amazing truth, right? And so Paul again says, God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory, right? So he's willing to supply all your needs according to his riches. You have access to those things, as we're going to see in just a little bit. And so I want to read verses 1 to 10 as we move on, all right? 1 to 10. Amazing verses. They'll be on the screen. As for you, now Paul gets personal. He kind of reads to the whole church and he gets really personal. As for you, you were dead in, now highlight the word in, I-N. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He's talking about the evil one. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath or his condemnation. But, don't you love verse 4? I like verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Amen. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, talking about the heavenly time frame, that he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Wow. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself or of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can what? Boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's the hard part, right? So God has like mapped out his plan for us, and he's like the GPS that, hey, you need to turn here. You need to go this. You need to do this. And sometimes you feel those impressions. It's like, the Lord's put it on my heart for a reason. Should I do it? Yes. If it's good for something and good for someone else, yeah, go ahead and do it. He's prompting you to do it, right? And so that's what he's prepared for you to do. And so it's like, what's my purpose now that I'm saved? I'm created in Christ Jesus to do good things, right? I used to do selfish things, right? Now I want to do good things for other people, right? And so I've been blessed to be a blessing, right? If you remember that, you remember the whole sermon today, all right? All right, let's keep going to the outline here. So Paul has given us a snapshot of what our soul and life looked like before Jesus in verses 1 to 3, right? So we didn't see this picture. We don't understand this picture until we're on this side of Jesus, right? Because sometimes we could just really not really care about where we're at or what we're doing. We're just existing and just enjoying life, right? And so Paul's like, we were dead in our sins. So in essence, we had no relationship with God, right? Sin not only separates us from God, but also there's no life in that relationship. It's just dead. That makes sense? So we were dead in our sins, and if we would have died that way, if we would have died in our sins, then we would have been condemned. So what really hit me when I was 17 and growing in the Lord afterward when I got saved, I was thinking, you know, if I was to die before that moment, wow, my life would have been forever the opposite. And I was just like, Lord, thank you for sparing me. Right? It's like, oh. You know, he kept me alive long enough to show me his forgiveness and grace and mercy. Right? Because I followed the ways of this world, what I wanted to do, my sinful cravings, and I didn't even know, right, where things were headed. It was just all about me. Right? And so Paul says we were objects of his wrath or judgment. So John 3:18 says, "For whoever believes in the name of God's one and only Son will not be condemned. But whoever does not believe in the Son is condemned already." So there's like a dividing line there, right? It's like either you believe in Christ and are free from condemnation, or you choose to not believe and are under condemnation. But here's the amazing thing. Through faith, you can cross over from condemnation to life, right? And so that's the whole point. And so we're also excluded from the covenant blessing. So Paul is probably writing to the Gentile Christians here because the church was Jew and Gentiles, we're going to see. And so to the Jews, we're like, yeah, we have all the blessings of Abraham and all these kinds of things. We have the scriptures. You Gentiles, you guys were way over here. And so it was causing division in the church, right? And so there was like, well, we're the Christian Jews. You guys are Gentile Christians. We're up here. You're down here. And Paul's like, no, you guys are equal in Christ. Christ died for both of you. So now you both are equal in Christ. Your position is now in Christ. Amen? And so, yes, the covenant blessings that God gave to Israel, they were to spread to the world. But they didn't do that. So God's like, I'm going to start over. Right? So then Jesus came and changed and ratified everything. He says, now go tell the world, right? You Jewish disciples, you go tell the world. That was the original mission, right? But now we're included in Christ, as we're going to see. We were without God and without hope because God is our hope, right? Now there's false hope. False hope is where you believe in something that you hope to be true, but it's not. But you believe that lie. And that is very, very, very self-deceptive. Why not believe in a true hope and a God who gives truth to the situation that answers the question, is there really life after death? Is there really a heaven? Jesus answers all of that. Amen? He answers all of that. So have a good hope, right? Have a truthful hope in Christ. And so he says also you are far away from God. Right? It's like, yeah, I was dead. I was far away. And he's not talking about just distance. Yeah, God's in heaven. I'm down here. No, he's talking about the heart condition. Right? The heart condition. So Jesus went to the Pharisees who served in the temple, served as teachers all over the synagogues, all over Israel. Right? He says, you honor God with your lips, but your heart is far from me. What? Religious people that go to church religiously and do all these things, their hearts could be in the wrong spot? Yes. That's what Jesus is saying. There was a guy who came to Jesus at the end of his week, during Passover week, that he asked Jesus a question. He goes, Rabbi, what is the greatest commandment in the Bible? And Jesus says, well, what do you think? And he goes, well, I'm claiming Deuteronomy 6:4, where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. I think that's the greatest one. Jesus goes, you're not far from the kingdom. You're like this close. You're not far. And so he was asking Jesus the right questions, right? And so we have books called the God Questions to help people with those answers and those questions they have. They're free in the back. Right? It's an awesome little tool. But aren't you glad you came across the line and are now in the kingdom? And I am. I'm not far away anymore. I'm close, right? I've been brought near, right? And so that's spiritual death. That's a picture of my life before Jesus, everybody's life before Jesus, right? So even though I grew up in church and thought I was okay, no, I had to have my own personal Jesus moment, right? I can't rely on my parents' faith or my grandparents' faith or your friend's faith, right? This is a one-on-one kind of deal. And so spiritual life, Paul says, through Christ, he made us alive, amen? He's raised us and seated us in Christ in heavenly places. You're like, well, when did he do that? I'm not there yet. Right? When did he seat me in heavenly places? The moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ. So in the Greek, this is all past tense, like it's already transpired. All right? So it's very important to understand these truths. So the moment you put your trust in Christ and the Holy Spirit has come into you, that's salvation, right? And so what transpired in heaven was your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Right? True or not true? Right? Did you see it? Were you there when the Father put your name in the Book of Life? No, right? And so were you there when he seated you with Christ in heavenly places? It's like, no, I'm not in heaven yet. But it's already transpired. In essence, Jesus already sees you seated there. That's the hope that we have, the full assurance of our faith in Christ. It's like, wow, that's my new position. I'm just not just seated in Christ, but he's raised me to be seated with Christ, a joint heir with Christ. That's who I really am. That's my position in heaven. Yes. Why? Because when Christ was seated, it pictures his work was finished, right? He's not up in heaven working. Right? All the work of our salvation was complete, so he was able to rest, right? And so we get to rest and seated with Christ because his work is finished, right? We don't have to work for our salvation. It's not by works. It's through faith in what he did for me, right? And so when I leave this earth, I am raised and ascended to heaven and seated with Christ, and there's just a great welcoming party. Amen? Luke 16 even says angels will escort us to that place. Right? I've seen people close. Man, they just have a vision and a smile, and it's like they're already seeing it. You ever seen that before? I mean, they go out with a smile on their face. They know who's coming for them. They see it. I can tell you other kind of stories, but I'm not going to tell you that anymore, all right? Just the good stuff. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, this is important to understand. Not only are we alive, but we're created in Christ Jesus. So it's a new creation, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away, new things have come. Because we're in Christ Jesus, he made us a new creation. So what does that really mean? I'm created by God, yes, through Jesus Christ, that creation, right? And so, but also, salvation is a picture of making me new, right? So he breathed into us to make us a living being, and he breathed into us the Holy Spirit to make us new, to make us alive, right? Because the Holy Spirit who helped Jesus be raised from the dead, so he's going to help us in our spiritual life to from spiritual death to life. Amen? So he's made us new. It's like we have heaven's resources now inside of us. They're like, what transpired there? Well, he's making us new. So we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, this is interesting. So turn to Ephesians 4, chapter 24. Paul is trying to help us understand this truth, and I'm just going to be honest with you. It's beyond some of my comprehension of what this means, okay? I'm just trying to help you grasp a little bit of it. And so Paul says, and to put on the new self created, this salvation self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So this new creature is created to be like him in true righteousness and holiness. So if that's who I'm supposed to be and live like, then I need to pursue a holy life, right? And to do what's right now, because that's what God does. He always does what's right, and he always is holy. Follow me? So he saved me from sin to live a holy life. Okay? Go to Colossians chapter 3, a couple chapters over, a couple books over. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new self, talking about the old self versus the new self, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And you're like, well, that kind of reminds me of Genesis, where it says God created us in his likeness and in his image. Genesis 1:26 and 1:27. So Adam and Eve, when they were created, had a perfect relationship with God without sin. Right? So that was an amazing moment, right? God put them in the garden, had everything they needed. I mean, God has blessed them with everything they wanted and needed, right? He says, just don't eat of this tree or you will surely die. They were deceived by the evil one, right? And so sin entered the world and death came as a result of sin, right? And so one day, Adam took his two boys, Cain and Abel, out and says, guys, that's the place where we used to live. Right? Because they said, why can't we go in there? Well, we used to live there until your mother ate us out of house and home. So thank you, ladies. I'm just kidding, all right? I'm just kidding. And so sin entered the world and it distorted that likeness and image that we were to reflect, right? And so now in Christ, God renews that image and likeness in us. And one day, 1 John 3:3 says, when we see him in heaven, we shall be like him. Now, what is that all going to transpire? I can't fully comprehend it. I'm going to be honest with you. When it says we will be like him, our minds cannot even fathom. Right? All I'm saying is this is what it says in Genesis. This is what sin happened to us, and this is what Jesus can do to us. He can renew and change us to be like we were created to be. So now in this new person, we can have a relationship with God that's real and personal, right? And that's what he's always after, is just relationship with us, all right? But one day we will be completely without sin, in a completely world without sin, amen? That's what we're going to look forward to. Also, we were brought near to God. We were reconciled through Christ's death and shed blood. We're no longer enemies with God. We have peace with him. We can be called his friends. We have access to the Father by one Spirit. And so here's the thing we got to realize. It's talking about God's resources and access, right? So you ever did like a password on your computer and it says access denied? You didn't have the right password? And you're like, did I write that down somewhere? I already forget my password. You ever been there? And so like, I need to write this down. And so access denied. So as a child of the king, we always have access to him. So he's never going to tell us access denied to us ever again. That makes sense? We have access to him. And so the Father has all the resources. All right? So prayer just accesses the resources to get what we need. For example, it's like I may be going through a time where I'm just broken, right? And so, God, I need you to heal me so I can be unbroken. So I have access to the Father and ask for what I need, and he can give me what I need, right? He can heal my broken heart, amen? I could come to him with a sorrowful heart. It's like, God, I need your comfort, and I know that you're the God of all comfort. I'm just asking for you to comfort me in this moment. Can he do that? Yes, right? And so, God, I need some XYZ. Can you do this? Right? So I'll give you an example. My dogs are a great example of this. So I have three dogs, but I'm just going to give illustration to two. So I got a big black lab. His name is Angus, because he's black. So Diesel is our brown, chunky one. And every morning when the sun comes up, I hear this whining noise every single morning. It wakes me up. And then they just start whining until I get up. I tell them sometimes, boys, go back to bed. But I can't wait too long because I've cleaned up too many messes. You know what I'm saying? And so they get me up every morning, and I know the routine. They know the routine. And when they hear my feet hit the floor, they get all excited. He's coming. He's coming. Oh, he's coming. We got him up, right? And so he's coming. And so they open the door. Psh, man, they go out the door. Angus goes right towards the feed bin. So we have a barrel, put their dog food in. He goes right to the barrel, and he makes his nose, and he's like trying to get the lid off. He's like, it's feeding time, Dad. I have access to you, and I know where the resources are at, right? But I don't have the scoop. So he waits on me to get the scoop, put it in his bowl. So you following the illustration here? So we got to come to him, not that we have to wake God up, right? But we have access to him. and we know where the resources are at. He just has to scoop it out. Right? And sometimes he can say, you know what? That's really not what you need. And that's the hard part. It's like but we have to trust him to know what's best for us. I may ask, but he says, you know, you need to wait for that. Or you know what? You don't really need that right now. That's the hard part of prayer, right? But know that his heart wants you to come to him and ask, but with the right motives. To come to him with faith, trusting him. Hey, God, you know what's best for me. This is what I think I know, and I'm just bringing it before you. I'm laying it at your feet, right? And so I'll just wait, be patient until you get the scoop out and put it in my bowl, whatever time frame that is. I remember being a young Christian and coming to know Christ, and I was like, does God really hear me? You know, because it's like this huge distance factor. I was just like, I'm going to try it. So I started to learn to pray, and man, God just brought something my way, and I was just like, that can't be coincidence, right? And God's like, it's not. You asked for it. I gave it to you. And it's like, but it was an amazing moment when I knew he heard me, right? It's like, that was awesome, right? And so he tells the disciples in John 14, ask so that your joy might be full. Don't you get excited when God does something? Right? You pray for somebody's situation and God comes through and it's like, yeah, right? That's where joy comes in. It's like, oh, that's what my Father can do, right? But we have access to him. Now think about that in your prayer life. If I have access to him anytime, then I can come to him at any time. I can come to him, not even have to ask. I can just be thankful. I can just praise him, right? I can just say, Lord, man, you are so good. You're so faithful. Love you today. Man, what a beautiful day today. You know, Andy, you're weird. You talk to yourself like that? It's like you talk to the Lord like that? It's like, yeah, I'm weird. All right? Crazy for Jesus. Amen? Fellow citizens and members of God's family, a holy temple to become a dwelling for God. So not only does he see me seated with Christ, and my name's already written in the book, but it also means I'm already a citizen there. I'm called an alien because I'm down here, a foreigner. That's not my home. Right? So Philippians 3:20 says we are citizens of heaven and we wait for a Savior to come from there. Amen? But we also become a holy temple and a dwelling for God. I have seen some amazing churches, Europe. I was like, wow, this is a beautiful, magnificent building. And God reminded me, he's like, Andy, that's the work of men's hands. I choose to dwell in a place that I created with my own hands. That's you. Wow. Let that hit you a little bit. In John 17, John records Jesus' last prayer with the disciples. And Jesus' last words were, Father, I pray that I might live in them. Now think about this just for a moment. He just prayed, Lord, I can't wait to get back to you, right? But Lord, while I'm gone and they're still here, my disciples, protect them and all these kinds of things. And then his final prayer was that I might live in them. Wow. So Jesus is asking the Father to live in us. And the moment you received Jesus, you answered his prayer. Amen? That's a special place. So we are more than just Lazarus's down here. Right? Resurrected beings. We're citizens of heaven. Amen? Let's keep going. I'm going to go on to a couple of verses here. Yeah, just stay right there. So God's role, chapter 1, the Father planned it, the Son paid for it, the Holy Spirit empowers it. Our responsibility is to listen to Jesus because he's the only one qualified to take us to heaven. We're to turn from sin and trust in Jesus, right? Because this gift of eternal life was given to us and we have to receive it through faith. So Paul is saying it's a gift of God. You got to receive it through faith, by grace, through faith, right? So let's give you some verses here to understand. Let's go back to Moses. So Moses is getting ready to leave the people, and he challenges them to sit down. I got some words to say as his last message. He says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose what? Choose life, so that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life." Wow. Let's go to the next one. This is Jesus. He goes, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Right? So that's the second person of the Godhead who sit at the right hand of the Father. That's what he's saying to us. You've crossed over just by faith, just through faith in him. Let's keep going. One more. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." So I want to close with a couple illustrations, all right? So you're thinking, man, this is an incredible story. It's too good to be true. Well, you have seen, I've given you every verse I can think of to tell you, to show you that it's all written down, right? An incredible story means it's too good to believe in. And it is when you really think about it. But God has simply wrote it down for us to live an incredible life while we're still here. The most incredible life is yet to come. Amen? And we look forward to that. So Queen Elizabeth, when she was young, when she was a kid and going into her teenage years, her advisors thought it would be best for them not to tell her who she really was and her destiny to what she was going to become. They thought, we need to protect her, isolate her, and just let her be a normal kid. Don't even let her realize who she's going to really be. And so they did that. And so she went through a period of different frustrations and rebellion and all these different kinds of things. And their advisors got together and was like, we need to do something. There needs to be an intervention here. And so maybe we need to tell her who she really is. Maybe that'll help. So they go to her and tell her, hey, this is who you really are. This is where things are headed for your life. And her words were this. Well, then I guess I maybe should behave then. If that's who I really am and going to be, then maybe I need to change right now and live who I am right now. And that's exactly what Paul is saying to this church. You're making poor decisions and choices because you don't realize who you are. You're not living out who you really are. You have been supremely blessed. So live out of that blessing of who you really are. Right? And so then you take that into chapter 5, into your marriage. Right? You take that into raising your kids. You take that into your job. You take that into everything you go to. Right? But if you don't grasp chapters 1 and 2, man, you're not going to have an incredible marriage and life and family that God wants you to. That's why I want to spend so much time in these chapters, because you got to realize who you are first, right? I am loved eternally by my Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When I receive love from someone else, a friend or a spouse, that's just cherry on top. Nothing beats his love for me. And I'm secure in that, right? I don't have to worry about if he loves me. I know he loves me. Amen? There was a poetry reading at this little bookstore one night. Pastor was into it. He was an older pastor, goes into it. He loved to hear poetry just to kind of meet people and talk to people. And somebody had asked, hey, does anybody want to hear a favorite reading or from a poem read tonight? We have an open mic a little bit. We have a time for that. So he raises his hand. He goes, I'd love to hear Psalm 23 read. And so the person up front was like, hey, there's an actor that was there, and he hadn't read anything. And so he's like, well, I'd love for you to read that. And he goes, well, only way I'll read it is if the pastor comes up and quotes it too. And he goes, I'm fine with that. So the actor comes up, reads Psalm 23 with every word perfect, I mean, with emphasis and dramatic flair. And everybody's like, that is awesome. Pastor, he gets up, it's his turn. Gravelly voice, has a relationship with God. And he quotes Psalm 23. And there's not a dry eye in the room when he's done. Everybody's just like, wow. And one person goes, what was the difference between the actor and the pastor? And he said, the actor knew the psalm, the pastor knew the shepherd. That's the key difference. That's the key difference. Do you know your shepherd today? That's the key question. Don't just know his book, know him. Amen? Because this book reveals him. Amen? As you guys get prepared for baptism, praise team will come up, and I want to pray for us, all right? So, Father in heaven, we thank you so much for these truths. Lord, I pray that we would just soak them in and meditate on them and treasure them. Just like Mary did when she heard the words of the angel, she treasured all these things in her heart. Lord, I pray that we would do that same thing. And so, Lord, we would just take it in and just let it change us from the inside out. Lord, help us not to live out of our past, but to live from our future, to who we are in Christ now. Lord, if there's anybody in this room that wants to choose Jesus right now and to put their trust in him, if they want to move from death to life, Lord, I pray you speak to their heart and give them that that faith that they need to just to call on you and put their trust in you and give them hope and forgiveness and love. And so, Lord, we know that you can do that even right now. You are that powerful. And so, Father, we just commit this time to you. We thank you for Oliver, who's going to get baptized. Lord, we're so thankful that he has given his heart to Jesus, and there's no greater thing than that. So, Lord, we just commit that to you as well. We love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.